Well, greetings from Salem this morning. I'm not sure, Melvin, are you allowed to say you're from here yet? It just looks like home to see you. blessing to see you all. It's wonderful to be here. You could have just kept going, brother. It was thoroughly edifying, which is the purpose of the church meeting, right? So we could have just continued on. But it's been very good for us to be here already, just to see and to know what God is doing. And yeah, I just want to say sorry that we're not going to be able to get into everybody's homes, but we would love to. But when you only have so many days, there's only so many places you can be. So it's hard to know where to start after that. That was so encouraging. I'm just determined to not give up, brother. There's so many times where it would be easy. And I can think of a couple of times in my life where, you know, my own testimony is where I did feel like giving up. Right? I remember one time, probably 10 years ago in the church, where I was tempted to run. There was a feeling that came over me where it was like, just run, just go, just get out of here, just escape. But God never gave liberty, right? God always said, no, I planted you here for a reason. You're not going anywhere. And just like a good marriage, when you fight through the hard times together, you're that much stronger when you come out the other side. So remember that when you face challenging discussions here, you know, whatever the theological debate or, you know, practical thing may be that you come up against, where you may at times almost feel like you're at loggerheads with each other, fight through it in brotherly love, and you will come out shining on the other side. Is one of the thoughts that came to my mind as you were sharing, John, was prayer is the key to brotherly love, which is the key to effective evangelism, right? And it flows from the throne of God, and his love flows into our hearts, and then it flows out to one another, and that cup overflows, and we can't keep it in, and we just start sharing with the world around us, and it's just contagious, right? So much so that when you read through the book of Acts, it's like, lo, these men which have turned the world upside down are come hither also, and may that be our testimony. You know, and may God do it here. And it sounds like he already is. But love one another out of a pure heart fervently. So if I could beg a little bit of mercy, I didn't get to a printer, so I just have my notes on here. Will I be forgiven? Okay. Yeah, I did most of my message prep after we were already here. I actually don't prefer it because the font is quite small and my eyes are not getting stronger with the years. I used to chuckle. No, I think it bothered me a little bit sometimes. You know, I would watch a brother preaching and he'd have his glasses on. And then he'd have them off. And then he'd have them on. And then he'd have them off. And I was like, that is so distracting. But all I can say to you young folks, your turn's coming. Today I understand. And it's not pleasant, but you know what? It's better than not being able to read. So it is definitely a better alternative, and I'll take it any day. I'm just thankful I can still read. What's on my heart this morning is a discussion on prayer. I don't know how much of a discussion. I never was very good at leading a Bible study, so it will be more of a preaching. But feel free to raise your hand and interject a comment here and there along the way if you so desire. But it's been on my heart a lot. Something that God has been teaching me is that we need to be in prayer. If we're going to be effective in any way, we've got to be in touch with God. And so often when we don't pray, it's because we've been discouraged about something. And rather than praying and coming through to a place of rest, we've given up. And when we don't see God answer a prayer, it becomes discouraging. Or he doesn't answer the way we think. And often we get confused about that because we're praying and praying and we're convinced we know what God wants to do in a certain area of life. But it's actually not his will. And so he actually answers differently than we were expecting. And we never see the answer because we were looking in the wrong place for the answer. So don't be discouraged in prayer, right? Allow God to direct even your heart in prayer. Right? It is God which worketh in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Yeah.
No is also
an answer. Amen. Yeah, and often that's the one we don't want to hear.
So God answered our prayer with a no, he can't do that yet.
That's right. And I've been blessed sometimes when God has said no. You know, where I've really wanted something and God said no, and later I realized why he said no and been very grateful. Oswald Chambers, I just want to interject a few quotes from, you know, I spent quite a bit of time just reading different quotes by, you know, men of God that have gone before us, some still living today. But prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. And too often we minimize prayer because we think that, well, it's the brother preaching, right? He's the center of attention. Everybody's looking at him. I am not the center of attention here this morning. God is. Right? And as much of the blessing as flowed out of what John shared, out of what I will share, was born in prayer. And as prayer was given, you know, for the brothers that were going to be sharing, the Spirit of God went to work and said, why don't you share this? Why don't you share that? And so every one of you praying for those speaking is an active participant in the service. Right? It's more than that, just we came together and we listened to different people praying. We were saying amen with their prayers. We were teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs this morning and being edified by the mutual benefit of one another. And we don't realize that prayer is the battlefield. You can hear preachers go on for a long time and it just seems to fall on deaf ears. And you know, I met a man who has a very effective ministry, if he is, you know, going to carry his calling through. But there we were at Brother Henry Penner's funeral on Monday, you know, after we finally, the Kebbles funeral home was finally able to get the body back. And, you know, it was like, what was it, a day short of 3 weeks from the day he died till we were able to have the funeral? So it was a long wait, and it was torment for Mrs. Penner. It was, you know, all of us kind of living on the edge from day to day, you know, when is the Mexican embassy finally going to release this body? But, you know, there's beautiful times that happen there, you know, beautiful times in prayer. And a highlight for me happened at the very end of the day, where my wife's cousin is married to an Old Colony preacher. And I got talking to this man, and there's something different about him. There was a peace on his face. There was a joy radiating from this man. He's an Old Colony preacher, right? And he's, you know, he's talking about Jesus, and he's just, this man is clearly born again, and I'm just about beside myself with excitement. And I'm like, you know, and I'm just thinking, you preach, right? You just preach Jesus. You know, if he can take that life and pour it into his people, God can move. But you know what else God needs for in order for that to move? Lord, please open the people's ears to hear what this man is speaking. And so all of a sudden, all of our prayers, and I'm not saying all of you need to pray for this man. God has different burdens and callings on each of us, and there's only 24 hours in a day. So you be faithful in the prayer burdens God puts on your heart. But, you know, it's like, yeah, bless. You know, his name is Isaac Penner, you know. And so God bless Isaac Penner's words as he shares the gospel. Because God moves in, you know, even in the Old Colony Church, God is moving. God saves people. Mrs. Penner shared her testimony in a cell group meeting just like a month before Mr. Penner passed away. And I'll just share for what for me were the highlights. You know, my family's heard this 5 times already. But I love sharing testimonies. So here's, You know, so here's this grandma sitting in the Old Colony Church, and she's listening to this preacher. And the preacher is talking about, you know, some of the different vices that people often get caught up in, trying to meet a need in their life. And he said, and what they don't realize is that they need Jesus. Her heart leapt in response to that, and she goes, and her heart said, that's what I need. I need Jesus. And right there, in the midst of this very traditional church service, this older sister begins weeping and sobbing uncontrollably. You know, and some people are looking and they're thinking, is Mr. Penner abusing his wife? Is he treating her so badly that she's crying like this? And they didn't have a clue what was going on. And so she's like, she didn't know. She's like, I was not in pain anywhere, but I'm just crying. And then later they've got company for supper. And she's trying to share with them what had happened. And she's just in tears. And she's like, I was so happy, but I was just crying. I was like, yes, it's the power of the gospel. And the power of the gospel moves when we pray, brothers and sisters. You know, Jesus Christ goes to work through the prayers of his saints. So I want to encourage you, continue in prayer. Be instant in season and out of season. You know, consider Daniel's prayer. And I don't know that I want to go to all of these different scriptures because there's lots of them. But Daniel's prayer there in the book of Daniel, when he said he denied himself any, you know, there are certain things he was denying himself. So he's on a fast and he goes, you know, week one and then he goes week two. And, you know, I think Helen's got a bit of a taste of what some of that's like. And she's, you know, and then he goes into week three. And on day 21, finally the angel breaks through to Daniel and says, Daniel, thou art a man greatly beloved. And I am now come to give you an answer of the prayer that you prayed. When you first started praying, God gave the word, and I came. And I was withstood. I was withstood. There was an evil force against me. And so I was fighting in this spiritual warfare, trying to get to you to deliver the message that God had given me to give to you. But Daniel doesn't know this. And when you and I are praying, we don't know what's going on in the heavenly realms. Just know that God is working. When you are praying, God is working. And the story of Daniel, to me, is one of the most, you know, eye-opening stories that I can find in Scripture of God moving in response to prayer. God gave Daniel the answer the day he prayed, but he never heard it until 21 days later. Because here's the angels duking it out, you know, and we can imagine what that looked like in the heavenly realms. You know, they're going at it with swords for 21 days, right? I don't know exactly how all those battles take place. But they were hard at it. Right? So you've got angel and demon, and they're going at it, and the angel's like, I got a message from God, and I've got to get to Daniel. I've been ordered by God to bring Daniel this message. God could have given that word directly to Daniel. But he chose to give it to an angel, a ministering spirit, to give to Daniel. And so when you're praying and God is sending an angel with an answer for you, you don't stop praying until the answer comes. And my thought often goes is, what would have happened if on day 7, Daniel says, you know, I'm just tired of waiting. God's not answering. I'm done. Bring me the fatted calf. This is enough of this. What would have happened? He never would have got his answer. So, don't give up. You know, we've got to continue on. You know, when you know that what you're praying for and you're watching and you're reading the Word of God and you see that, yes, this is the will of God, well, then continue on. You know, I wonder, you know, if we had stopped praying for Becca's dad, would he have gotten saved? We don't know that, but how many years did he sit in church? 15, 12? It was like 14 or 15 years. Dear Frank Duick sat in church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, hearing the word of God, and the veil in front of his face, and his family and the church praying and praying and praying and praying. Finally, last December, Jerry gets done his evening message, and out of the corner of my eye, I see Frank coming up the aisle, and I had already heard he wanted to talk to me. And so we went downstairs, and he's like, I'm laying it all down. He says, I'm done. He says, I got a couple of questions, though. And it was, you know, these were things that were holding him back from getting saved. He said, what about this? What about this? And so I answered his questions, and I was going to leave it there. I was like, so would you like to go home and consider that and ponder on that? I said, or do you want to pray right now? I said, the ball's in your court. He goes, no. He says, I want to pray. And he knelt down right there. We prayed. The transaction was made, just that simply. But how much spiritual labor went into that prayer. And you consider back to Daniel's prayer. You know, the spiritual warfare that was going on while Daniel was on his knees. God has chosen to employ the saints in the business of saving souls. And as we labor in prayer together, God moves. And we see that so clearly. And after 21 days, finally, here comes some more help. Right? Michael the archangel came along and said, okay, enough of this. You go get Daniel his message. I'll take this. I'll take this guy on. And so Michael steps in and says, here, go and give Daniel the word. This is enough. This has gone on long enough. And Daniel gets his answer. But he didn't quit. And too often, we're ready to quit just a little bit too soon. How close are we to our next miracle? If you quit, you'll never know. But if you keep going, you will see God do amazing things. Right? I'm watching God do something amazing right here. And as much as I miss you all, and as jealous as I am, and as much as I think a lot of y'all just need to pack your bags and come back home because we need you, I see God is working right here. So we're just going to rejoice with you. And as we pray for you, pray for us. Because here's the kicker. I want to go back to my opening statement. Prayer is a necessary tool for us to love one another. And the love we have to one another is the key thing we need to be effective tools for Christ in bringing others to himself. It has to work, right? The power of God only can work. But we cannot allow self and the flesh to get involved. And often as brothers, we get this idea stuck in our crown and we're not about to let go. We're not about to give up. And that attitude right there is the death of any church. Because if the devil can get us bickering amongst ourselves, effectively, all ministry is going to come to a screeching halt. And we'll be so busy trying to fix things from within that we won't have time to reach out and reach the world around us for Christ. And I really appreciated it. Genoa's status there the other day. I don't know if I can quote it perfectly. It was something to the effect of, stop arguing with the saints and start preaching to the sinners. You know, and I thought, amen. That's exactly where things need to be at. And the reason I say that is, John, in his gospel, says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. There is no getting around that scripture. And prayer is the key for me to love you and for you to love me. Because as much as, you know, every one of us is flawed, with the Spirit of God within each one of us, there is grace to be long-suffering and forbearing. There has to be, right? Because it's how the Spirit of God works. It's how he moves. He can do no other, right? I remember a day where there was a brother in church. I didn't like him, right? I'm speaking very carnally, but I didn't like him. If he would have said, I'm leaving, I would have said, phew, praise the Lord. You need help packing? Like, it was very carnal of me, but that's where I was at. But you know what else was real in my own heart? The witness of God's Spirit that said, your attitude really stinks. You two may be different in personality. You may disagree on a lot of doctrines. But that man right there is one of my redeemed saints. And you have no business but to do anything except love him. And I got on my knees and I said, God, I can't. You are going to have to give me a love for that brother because I cannot love him. And that's how we are, right? Different personalities rub each other differently. And my personality, I think, grates on some people. You know, I sometimes tell people that I probably spend half my life laughing. And I think I'd be a nervous wreck if I didn't, right? When I consider some of the trials and tribulations God has thrown my way or allowed to come my way over the years, I'm not going to attribute it to God. God doesn't do that. But, you know, the things that he's allowed to come my way over the years, I think I'd be a nervous wreck if I had a different personality. I don't know, God's grace is sufficient for every personality, but I'm just, you know, speaking as it comes to me, right? Because this is my personality. But God is faithful. But I realize that that personality to some people can look like I'm not serious about life, that I'm just careless and happy-go-lucky. Anything but. Right? I'm actually very serious about life. I'm very serious about souls getting saved. Very serious about seeing people delivered from sin. But I also believe that the Christian life is a joyful life. The happiest people on the planet should be the saints. Because one of the prophecies of the resurrection of Jesus Christ says, in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And if you turn with me to Psalm 16. We'll take a quick look at that. And prayer is that open door to fellowship with the Father. When Jesus died, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. The door into the Holy of Holies was wide open for every man to enter in and to have fellowship with the Father. And so Christ died, made the atonement for my sin, and then rose again so that I could have fellowship with the living God. And that is the beautiful gospel. And David prophesies it in Psalms chapter 16. We're going to break in verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And the reality is, when we spend time in the presence of Christ, where there are pleasures forevermore, there is a grace, there is a mercy, there is a long-suffering, a forbearance. The fruit of the Spirit of God wells up from within to everyone around us. And all of a sudden, I can love every saint because I am in close fellowship with the Father. That is what it means to be full of the Holy Spirit, is the fruit of the Spirit is flowing out of me in its fullness. All the fruit of the Spirit, every little bit of it, is flowing out freely and fully. We want to be full of the Spirit. And if we're full of the Spirit, we'll be full of love for one another, and also a burden to see the lost come to Christ. It's one of the first things that happens to the saint when he gets saved is, I want to tell somebody else. Right? I've got to share with somebody else. Like, I remember the day I got saved. Like, I couldn't keep silent for a day. And I just, like, I had to tell somebody. Right? I have peace. I didn't know what all had happened. Well, I think I did, actually. I'd been under Ben Bergen's discipleship for 4 years. It was in the fourth year that he was teaching where the Lord found me. But when mercy came down and washed away my sin, it was that moment where peace came and the joy came. And then my mouth was opened, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Like, you just can't help it. Prayer is that connection with God, right? Where we fellowship with Him. And when we read the Word of God in prayer, not as in the dead letter, but we're reading prayerfully. And what I mean by that is, I want to know what I can learn from Jesus as I read. What can I learn about Jesus? What can I learn from Him? What is going to give me greater wisdom and knowledge in walking out this Christian life? And I'm reading the Word of God like that, all of a sudden it becomes a living book. And every time I open it, every time I read, I'm blessed and I'm inspired in some way. Because I'm not just reading to fill the time, right? It's not just my Christian duty to open up and read a few verses and say, oh yeah, yeah, that's what the Scripture says. But it has so much to say about prayer. And I love reading some of these other quotes about prayer. John Piper made a few comments. He said, we cannot know what prayer is for until we know that life is war. And I'm not sure if you realize that life is war. Often we don't think about it. You know, when I think about the world around us, the World Economic Forum and its control that it has in the world at this point, there's great forces against us, right? They've released their book on the Agenda 2030. We know what their goals are. It is an anti-Christ agenda. That is what we're up against. And prayer is for war. So are we praying? Are we praying for God to give us wisdom in the days that we live in, to guide us in His peace day by day? Like, I'm not expecting to get out of this world alive anyway. I'm not sure when I'm going home, but I know I'm going home. Like, none of us get out alive. But what are we doing while we're here? We want to be as effective as we can be. Excuse me. Ephesians chapter 6. Might seem like almost a worn out scripture, because we do go to it different times. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Okay, the Great Commission was given. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, Jesus said. Go ye therefore. Well, this is great news. He's got all the power and we're supposed to go. Isn't that nice? Doesn't seem very charitable. Hey, I got all the gas in my tank, so I want you to go. Oh, by the way, I'll be with you. You're coming with me. Right? And this is the words of Christ. He says, I've got a job for you to do, and I've got all the power it takes to get it done, and I'm going to be with you. Amen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Christ is not looking for us to be strong in ourselves. He has no desire for us to rely on our own strength. He has every desire for us to be in prayer, seeking Him for wisdom and direction in life. He doesn't want us to try to walk everything on our own. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How many of you would like to stand against every trick the devil's got up his sleeve? I do. Right? I want to be strong in that. I want to be able to withstand. Well, then put on the whole armor of God. You can't leave one piece off. If the devil sees a weak link in your armor, he's going for it. If he sees a temptation somewhere that you're inclined to succumb to, he's going after that. And he'll come after you right there, and he'll try to nail you there every time. He won't go after the areas where you're strong. He knows he won't get you. Like, I remember one time when the devil came at me with an all-out assault. And I went and I just almost dove onto my knees, and I said, God help! He's never tried it again. Like, he knows what I'm going to do. And so he tries the more subtle approach, right? Logic and reasoning, and try to connive and work his way in through the back door. And, you know, if this, then this, then this, then this, and try to trip me up that way. That's the way he likes to try to get me. But the older we get, we become wise to his ways. But if you want to fight, you need the full armor of God. Not just some of it, you need all of it. So what is it then? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So don't go buy yourself a machine gun. You're not going to need it in this war. All right? The God we serve can stop up machine guns plenty quick enough. He can stop bullets dead in their tracks. So you don't need to go invest in modern artillery. It'll be useless in the war we're fighting. He's far above those things. But we fight against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, right? We see that example in Daniel. That's what Daniel was up against. He was up against spiritual wickedness in high places. He was wrestling and he was fighting, but he was out to conquer. The question for us sometimes, I think we need to ask, is are we comfortable? Or is it actually a reality that we're at war? You know, there was a sensing, I don't know what you want to call it, but probably about a month ago, as brothers, we started talking, and we're like, brothers, we're at war. We're under attack. And every one of us could feel it. Now, I didn't talk to every single brother, but over and over again, I was hearing from different brothers, we're at war. God is out to destroy Salem Christian Fellowship. And we felt it in a very real way. And we're not out of the woods yet. But I'm seeing God do some beautiful things. And it's exciting to see what God is doing. But please continue to pray for us. You know, I don't know what's all going on behind the scenes. But there was just almost an oppressiveness that was starting to rest on the church. We're like, what is this? Where is this coming from? This feels like an all-out attack. And so we've prayed much, and I know you've been praying for us, and I do thank you for it. But we are at war, right? In different places and times, churches find themselves in different places. And I've rarely that I've felt it where, as a brotherhood, we're like, yeah, we feel it. We know there's something going on here that is out of the ordinary, and it's driving us to our knees. And that's what needs to happen when we know we're at war. Prayer is war. That's where we fight. That's where the battles are won. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high places. So let's get the armor of God on. Take unto you the whole armor of God so that you can stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And when I look at what's going on in the world and where things are headed, we are living in an evil day. And that evil day is getting worse and worse. Like, this whole pride agenda, it's being forced in a way the world has never seen. But it's part of the World Economic Forum's agenda to try to force societal change. And I was listening to one of the... I'm not sure, was he a CEO or upper level managers of BlackRock? And for those of you that have done your homework on it, BlackRock is a company that owns shares in just about every company globally. Like, they're in deep in controlling the World Economic Forum. So they're right at the top of this whole 2030 agenda, right? So they're trying to control everything. And one of the men said, you know, with the whole thing about Bud Light losing billions of dollars, Target losing billions of dollars, he says, you know, it's not about the money. And these guys, they're working with trillions, right? They don't need money. To them, it's a game, right? For them to lose $20 billion is not a huge deal. Not the money they're working with. But his comment that caught me was, you have to just ignore the money when you're trying to force a change on society. So they're trying to transition a global change on society as a whole. That's the goal. So yeah, we're living in an evil day. I don't think we're yet right here where this scripture is talking about the evil day. But we are headed in that direction, and we're going fast. You know, how much time we have on earth yet? I don't know. I don't have a thus saith the Lord. That on this day Jesus is coming back. And if I started spewing dates, I hope you brothers would have the wisdom to shut me up. Thanks, brother. I'll take that as a yes. So stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Honesty is one of the key elements of the Christian life. You want to be faithful, you want to be powerful in prayer, you got to start being honest. And I love hearing people that are just honest in prayer. There's no pretense. And I remember about a month ago, I was, you know, we've been handing the mic around because, you know, we're front room and back room. Not everybody is familiar with our building setup, I don't think. But so we've got the front room, back room, and without the mic, we just can't hear each other pray. And so the mic was handed to me and I started praying, and it felt kind of form. You know, it's just kind of saying the right words. And I got a couple of lines into my prayer, and God just, would you please just shut up and talk to me? Give my head a shake, and it's like, yes, thank you, Lord. I needed that. And just put all the pretense aside. It doesn't matter if the whole church knows where I'm at and what I'm struggling with. Lord, I need you. Here's where I'm at. And that's what God wants. God wants real prayers. God wants to see honesty. You know, if there's one of the things that has turned people away from the church over and over again that we hear, it's hypocrisy. And I realize God is working in every single one of our hearts. And none of us is perfect, but let's pursue honesty. And I realize there are always those that are going to look at the church and say, oh yeah, yeah, church is just full of hypocrites and I'm not going. And, you know, and so we see our needs, and the devil can sometimes use that against us and say, yeah, yeah, I'm just a hypocrite, right? But be honest. And as we're honest and we're praying and we're working through, you know, whether they're personal issues in our life or whatever it is that we're dealing with, as we're honest and seeking God and finding grace, that's not hypocrisy. That's walking in truth. Because we're all in the flesh and we all got things to deal with. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, my heart is protected by the righteousness of God. I'm not trusting in my own righteousness. Christ completed the gospel before I was born. His righteousness has been imputed to me apart from anything I did. I am righteous because God said so. That's where righteousness begins. It's not me flaunting my works before the Father saying, hey, see what I've done? It doesn't work. Have your feet shod of the preparation of the gospel of peace to have a ready word to share with the lost. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I don't know if you find that encouraging, but I sure do. There's such a tremendous strength in knowing that the shield of faith can conquer every single fiery dart that the enemy throws at you. No, my faith is in Jesus Christ. My faith is in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what the devil brings against me. My faith is in Jesus Christ. My faith is not in myself. My faith isn't in you, brothers. I'm not a Christian because of you, brothers, although you have helped me to stand. But every one of us is a Christian because our faith is in Jesus Christ. The helmet of salvation. You know, you want to be effective in the spiritual battle. You can't sit there tossing around doubts about your own salvation and where you're at with God. You need to get that settled, right? And if that's not settled, settle it quickly, right? Get before God and settle that. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Right? So does the Word of God abide within? It's an incredibly effective tool in ministry. When you're praying, you pray the Word of God for people. You find scriptures of encouragement, right? And you take some of the things like John was sharing about not giving up. You know, some of the promises, you know, to him that endureth to the end will I give to eat of the tree of life. God, you just bless Brother Henry, give him grace to continue on so that he too can eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. You know, and we can pray the word of God for each other in a very encouraging way. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And that's a mouthful, but that's the battlefield. Prayer is the actual battlefield. Prayer is not the thing we do to prepare us for war. Prayer is war. And over again, you can read the testimonies and the testimonies in your own life of how God has changed your life through prayer. You know, and sometimes it's in the little things that you don't see so drastically. Sometimes it's in very drastic ways. Like, I remember the time where I was supposed to die. Through my own foolishness. Right? I'm driving at a reckless speed for what the weather was. And the car went careening towards a gully. I was totally out of control. There was not a single thing that I was going to do. You know, when you hit a drift as fast as I was going and it threw the car out of control, I was gone. But I cried out to God. And it was just in a matter of seconds, I was heading up the other side, right where I was supposed to be driving. It was not me. I don't drive like that. I don't know how, right? There was no physical way to do that. It defied the law of gravity. I should be dead. Now, God doesn't always move so openly and obviously in our life, but God is always at work. When you're praying, God is moving. God is changing circumstances. He's answering prayers. He's manipulating and controlling circumstances in answer to our prayers. And I'm considering, you know, some of the prayers where God is opening doors for Kenton and Bethany, and we're not sure about Benny and Martha yet, but we think they're going to. But where God is answering prayers and opening doors in supernatural ways. So sometimes it's very obvious, sometimes it's not. But it happens in prayer. So make prayer a main event in church. Too many times as a Christian church, we've taken the approach that when we've done everything else that we know to do and none of that worked, then we should pray. We need to start and end with prayer. Right? It can be a prayer of supplication. God, we need you. And it can end with a prayer of thanksgiving. God, thank you for meeting us and supplying all of our needs according to your mercies and according to your riches. So a brother made a quote recently, and then I've heard it again since, at least once, that scientifically, in our human makeup, anxiety and thanksgiving cannot coexist. In other words, it is a biological impossibility for you to be anxious and thankful at the same time. Now, often anxiety leads people to depression. You know, you get so worried and concerned about things that you get all depressed about life and how bad things are going. But if anxiety and thankfulness cannot coexist, then what is the answer to anxiety? Thankfulness. So the fact that I'm not depressed is because I'm thankful. I purposely find reasons to thank God, right? I on purpose give thanks to God, and regularly and much. And when you are regularly thankful, you will become a happy person, because the joy of the Lord resides within, and you will be that much more effective in prayer, because now you are dwelling in the presence of God. Remember, in his presence is joy. Fullness of joy. It's kind of funny how the devil wants to make us think that if we give all to God, that life is going to be dreary. And some of the most exciting times I've had as a Christian are on my knees. So if you would turn with me, I'm just going to close here with Philippians chapter 4 in verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be worried about nothing. Don't care for it. Do not be anxious. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, You catch that? In everything. Everything. There is absolutely nothing that is too small to bring to God. There is no question that is too silly to ask of God. And I want to give that encouragement, especially, you know, amongst, you know, the young people or the older, you know, getting into your teens. When you hear little ones ask questions that to you seem silly, don't despise those questions. Right? There was a time you didn't know it either. And it's something important for us as saints to realize that even though we have an answer for something, we learned it along the way. We didn't always know it. And let's not despise those that have not learned it yet, but rather have a humble attitude and share the wisdom and share the answer with them so that now they have the answer too. So everything, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. You know, it reminds me of Paul, you know, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And we do. We pray for you all the time. You know, praying God's blessing on the church here in New Brunswick. In everything with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And here's the promise. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So as you come to God in thanksgiving, He will keep your heart in peace. Those are beautiful, beautiful promises. So I want to leave that with you. I'm not sure who's closing the meeting, but let's...
I am amazed how God blesses us every single Sunday. Amen. Yeah. That was very good. Very good morning. Very thankful for that.
Thank you, Brother John. Brother John. I don't know when you hear a topic like prayer, you're sitting there, how you process. Anytime any topic from the scriptures comes up, I sit there and I think immediately, because I believe it's of the Lord, I believe it's the Spirit of God that ordered this morning, that spoke to John and John what to say. And so I examine myself. I sit there, I examine myself. I consider exactly what was shared. And I was thinking about prayer here in my seat. And I was asking myself, are you praying? You know, would God consider you a praying Christian? Not would man consider, not the church consider you a praying Christian. Would God consider you one that depends on Him? One that can't do anything without Him? You know, we all quote that scripture that we can't do anything without Him. But would God be convinced of that? Is God convinced that you're a persevering prayer? You don't give up in prayer. These two messages go together, right? We're persevering prayers. We can pray for the same things every Sunday and every time we come together as a church, but I was considering private prayer. And I just want to ask all of us here this morning, how is your private, in your closet prayer time, you know? We often emphasize, you know, it's not about how much time, it's not about... What can I say? It is about how much time you pray. Anything you do, what I mean by that is, if you're spending 5 minutes in prayer, you're putting a value upon prayer. The time you spend doing something is how much you value it. And it's not the praying that's important, it's the one that we're praying to. I value God this much that I want to be alone with Him. I see the work that needs to be done on this earth in New Brunswick, in this church, so much that I want to ask God to help because I can't do it. I can't supply the needs in this church. I can't pour out grace upon people. God can use me for that, but I need Him to do it. I need Him to help my wife and my children and And I remember, and don't mean to put you on the spot, Sister Helen, but I remember when you were gone to Mexico, the church was praying much for you. And I thought about it. I don't hear a lot of prayers anymore. And I know that you would still love us to pray for you, wouldn't you, Sister? I'm sure you would. And we all want to see Helen completely free from cancer, don't we? And I wonder if God desires to heal her, and not only her, but there's situations in the church, in our homes, that God would have us pray for, as a church, but in private, in your time with the Lord, once we see that, God, we can't do it. We can't accomplish these things without you. That's what prayer is. That's what Brother John said. Be honest with God. God, I need you. The church needs you. And then all of a sudden, it doesn't become a 15-minute prayer time every day in our closets. But now we see the need is great. I need to be a praying Christian. I need God. The church needs God to do a work. So thank you very much for that, brother. I needed it. I needed that provoking. Because often we can emphasize corporate prayer, and I, brothers, sisters, we need to pray together, but when we're in private in prayer in our closet, we're the only one that knows. And we can put on a pretty good show of prayer in corporate, but we can't put on a show in our closets. It's only God and us, right? So let's be a praying people. Maybe we can all rise. We'll close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your hand upon this meeting today. We thank you that, as we've acknowledged so many times before, that you are a living God that has poured his Spirit upon his people, his church, so that we can have all that we need for life and godliness. And we thank you for that this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we have these dear faithful brothers that could share the word with us today. I pray that it would be taken to our hearts, and that we would be a persevering people in our lives, in our faith, and in our praying. We want to honor you and please you in everything, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.